We have a very significant and I believe important message for you today. And I say that this message is important and significant, especially in the light of what we're hearing from most pulpits and especially from TV programs. I hear things like this all the time, and I do make it my business to listen to other preachers. I hear them saying all the time, God wants you to be prosperous. It's God's will for you, if you're a believer, to be prosperous. Then I hear another one come along and say, God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to have a lot of money, pay all your bills, drive two or three cars, live in a mansion, have a swimming pool, and he wants you to be in perfect health. That's what God wants. That's the will of God for every one of his children. That's what I hear men say. And I hear them saying, all sickness, all sorrow, all affliction is of the devil. That's what they say. And some poor, afflicted, sick child of God out there is listening to that preacher, and he says, if you're not healthy, and if you're not wealthy like I am, because he got wealthy by you sending him what you have. That's the reason you're not wealthy. You send it to him. And that's the reason he is wealthy. But if you're not healthy and wealthy, it's because you don't have faith. If you had faith like I am and charisma like I have and you could hoodwink and con people like I can, then you'd be wealthy. And then I hear them say this, healings in the atonement. And all Christians ought to be well. Now, let me tell you something, and you hear me well. And you hear me well. This is contrary to experience and it's contrary to the Word of God. This thing, God wants you to be prosperous and God wants you to be wealthy and healthy and God wants you to have the best of everything, and all sickness is of the devil and all affliction is of the devil and all sorrows of the devil. That's not a word of truth in that at all. It's contrary to experience and it's contrary to the Word of God. Some of the Lord's choicest people have been very poor. Very poor. You go back through the years and go back through the past many years of religious history, and you'll find some of God's choice people have been poor people. I have friends right now in Spain and in Mexico and Indians in Canada, and they're not prosperous people or wealthy people. They're very poor people. But they're people who are rich in grace and rich in faith. And they know Christ and they love Christ. But many of his people have been poor. Some of them have been persecuted. John Bunyan spent 12 years in prison. Many of God's people have been martyred. Read the 11th and 12th chapter of Hebrews. And read how that they lived in caves. And how that they were persecuted and martyred and slain. And were sent to prison for their faith. Tribulation. Many of God's people have been greatly afflicted. Beginning with Job. And then come on through the New Testament, greatly afflicted. Some of the greatest preachers of the past several hundred years have been greatly afflicted as far as bodily health is concerned. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers England's ever heard, spent about 30 of his 58 years very sick, out of his pulpit sometimes for months at a time. The Word of God. Now, this thing of God wants you to be prosperous and wealthy and healthy and all these things and all healings of the atonement. And if you don't have perfect health and if you don't have prosperity, it's because you don't have any faith. That's not true. Not according to experience and not according to the Word of God. Listen to the Scripture. Christ said, in this world you shall have tribulation. They that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. David said in Psalm 119, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The Apostle Paul said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Listen to James. My brethren, count it joy. Count it joy when you go through trials. The trying of your faith worketh patience. And listen to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. Now listen to this, verse 7. He's talking about this ministry God had given him. He talked about this faith God had given him. This relationship with Christ that God had given him. And he said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure of grace, this knowledge of God, this relationship with God. We have it in an earthen vessel. This is an earthen vessel. This is not a glorified body. This is a temporary tabernacle, a temporary tent that someday is going to fall down. My body is subject to disease just like anybody else's body. My body is subject to infirmities and afflictions just like anybody else. I don't have any magic hedge about me to prevent disease. I have the mercy of God and the blessings of God and the will of God, but it may be God's will for me to suffer so that I can sympathize with someone else who suffers. You can only weep with those that weep if you've wept. And Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. For this cause we faint not. Now watch this. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I tell you, as you get a little older, the afflictions begin to mount. The infirmities begin to mount. Some of you notice I wear hearing aids because most of my hearing's gone. I wear glasses because my eyes are very dim. I'm getting close to 60 years of age. I'm getting close to the time when this tabernacle is going to fall. This tent's going to fall down. I'm going to have these infirmities. I cannot expect in the flesh to have perfect health. But yet, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Now watch this line here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, our light affliction, whatever those afflictions are, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. My friends, our light afflictions. Did you bristle a little bit when I read that? Our light afflictions. I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't blame you. Some of you are going through some heavy trials. I know that you are. Some heavy trials. And when I read that, our light affliction is but for a moment, I imagine some of you bristled a little bit and said, what do you mean light? This trial is heavy. This burden is heavy. And it does seem heavy. It does seem heavy. Some of you have physical distress. Some of you have been sick a long time. Some of you have heart problems. Some of you have cancer. Some of you have several. And I'm not saying that you don't have faith, therefore you're not healed. If you had faith, you'd be well. I'm saying this, God's grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and God gave him the grace. He didn't remove the thorn, but he gave him the grace sufficient for his need. God does heal. Sometimes it's the will of God to make men well. Sometimes it's not the will of God. But some of you have physical distress, and some of you have been to the cemetery a time or two and buried loved ones. And I know some of you are very lonely. You know what it is to live alone, to eat alone, to sleep alone, to sit alone. The loneliness sometimes is so heavy you can cut it with a knife. And some of you have children who've broken your hearts. Just broken your hearts so many. Some of you are crippled and lame. Some of you are growing old and you're getting feeble. Well, you know the hymn writer put it this way, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Its joys grow dim, its glories fade away. They will. Change and decay, and all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. Abide with me. That's what I need. I don't need perfect health. I need the perfect presence of Christ. I don't need prosperity. I need the person and presence of Christ. That's what I need above all things. And then Paul comes along here with this light afflictions. Our light afflictions is but for the moment. What does he mean by that? Does Paul call our afflictions light afflictions because he was without feeling? Oh, no. Paul wept with those that wept, rejoiced with those that rejoiced. He was a man of deep feeling. He said on one occasion, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Was he frivolous? Or careless? Oh, no. Well, maybe it's because Paul didn't really have any afflictions. I tell you this. Paul graduated in the school of affliction. If you want to read about Paul's afflictions, you jot this down. You read 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 28, and you'll read about the afflictions of Paul. He was a man who could write afflictions in capital letters. And yet, listen to what he says. He said, I am troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed. He said, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. And then he said, though this outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, are nothing. Now, how could he say that? Well, Paul learned to look upon afflictions in the right frame of mind. That's what I want to try to help you with and help myself with today. Paul looked on afflictions with the right frame of mind and with a proper attitude, knowing that God our Father is the first cause of all things. That's right. Even, you know, when Satan came to persecute Job and to try Job, he had to get permission from God. God's the first cause of all things. He has to be, or he's not God. If there's any power greater than God's power, then that power is God. If there's any force that can turn God or influence God, then that's the force we need to worship. But God's the first cause of all things. In him we live and move and have our being. God created all things, and all things exist in him. And he's the first cause of all things. Our God is. And all these things, good and bad, work together for his glory and our good. That's what he said in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. So let me tell you something. Now you listen to me. It's not true, not by experience or the word of God, that it's the will of God for every one of his children to be prosperous. That's just not so. It's not true, according to experience and the word of God, that God has willed that all of his people be in perfect health without any affliction, infirmity, or trial or sorrow. These afflictions are God-ordained. These infirmities are God-ordained if you're a child of God, and they work for God's glory and your good. But I'm going to give you five or six things here that may help you in regard to these infirmities and these afflictions, and to adopt the right spirit, attitude, and frame of mind toward them. Now, Paul had them, but he had the right frame of mind toward them. He said these light afflictions are but for a moment, and they work in us and for us a far more exceeding weight of eternal glory. And they're not worthy to be compared with the love and grace and mercy of God. So let's take our afflictions, whatever they are, heartache, bodily infirmity, poverty, disappointment, loneliness, sorrow, the death of a loved one. Let's take these afflictions and let's look at them a little bit. Look at them straight and truthfully from the Word of God. Well, first of all, this. My afflictions, whatever they are, they are light. They are light compared to what I deserve. You see what I'm saying? Whatever God brings to pass in my life, however severe it is, however difficult it is, it's light compared to what I deserve. Listen to David in Psalm 103. Now we need to get straightened out in our thinking here. Some of us think we deserve something from God's hand. We don't deserve anything but the wages of sin, and that's death. But it says here in Psalm 103:8, listen, the Lord is merciful and gracious. The Lord is slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. God hath not dealt with us after our sins. God hath not rewarded us according to our iniquities. No, he hasn't. God hasn't dealt with me according to my sins. God hasn't rewarded me according to my iniquities. He's dealt with me in grace, and he's rewarded me in mercy from the bountiful hand of a merciful God in Christ Jesus. And whatever I'm called upon to suffer in this life, it's the mercy of God compared to what I deserve. I could be in hell. That's exactly right. I could be crying now with a rich man in hell, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. My sins. Go back to the Garden of Eden. I was with Adam when he fell. So were you. Go back to Judea. We were with that multitude when they cried, crucify him. Will I have this man reign over us? We were with that crowd that danced around the cross and spit upon the Son of God and laughed while he died. I tell you this, we could be in reprobation. That's right, like Judas and Pharaoh and a few others. We could be in heathen darkness. That's exactly right. So anything this side of hell is mercy. God has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God's dealt with us in mercy, so whatever I have, it's more than I deserve. A whole lot more. Whatever I have. All right, secondly, now get a hold of this thing. I'll get a hold of a right attitude toward affliction or infirmity if I consider it in the light of God's Word. Secondly, my affliction is light compared with many others who live right now on this earth or have lived on this earth. Read Hebrews 11. And read how some of those people suffered and how they were persecuted for preaching and believing the gospel. We've never resisted the blood. We're not in prison for our faith. We haven't shed blood for our faith. I read the story of John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He was put in jail for preaching the gospel. You say, didn't God know he was down there in jail? I'm sure that he did. You mean God permitted him to remain in jail 12 years? He had a little blind daughter. He had several children. And he had this little blind daughter that loved her daddy so much. And they'd bring her up to the jail to visit her father. And she'd beg him to come home. She'd say, Father, come home, come home. Well, all he had to do to go home was just tell him he wouldn't preach this gospel anymore. You see, they had a state church, the church of the establishment, and you had to preach what the state church agreed upon and the theology of the state church, or you couldn't preach. Well, John Bunyan was preaching the gospel of God's grace, and they had him thrown in jail. And he could go home anytime he quit preaching, but he wouldn't quit. He was called to preach the gospel. And this little girl begged him to go home. I tell you, I've never spent 12 years in prison. And then most of us can see, we can hear, we can speak. I read a poem one time, a fellow said, I complained that I had no gloves till I met a man who had no hands. I complained that I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet. I tell you, when so many have so much less than we do, we ought to give thanks to God for everything we have, even our afflictions, even our infirmities, because even they work for our good and God's glory. You see, infirmities and afflictions work patience. It caused me to grow in patience and grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of the Savior. So my afflictions are light compared with many others. I've never suffered like some men have suffered. And you've never suffered like some women have suffered. The people all around you that have so many more afflictions than you do, and here we're complaining about our light afflictions. And then thirdly, my afflictions are light compared to what my Lord suffered for me in bearing my sins. Listen to Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him, lest you be weary and faint in your minds, you have not resisted the blood. You read Isaiah 53, how our Lord was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace laid upon him, with his stripes we're healed. See him in hand-to-hand combat with Satan. See our Lord Jesus Christ tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. See him in the garden agonizing under the weight of our transgressions. See him in Pilate's hall, beaten and mocked by soldiers. See him hanging on that cross and hear him cry in Lamentation 1:12, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, and behold my sorrow, is any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger? I've never suffered like that. When my son was killed in Vietnam, I read something that helped me a great deal. Another man had lost a son, and some mocker came up to him and said, well, where was your God when your boy died? Where was your God when your boy died? Where was your God when your son died? And he replied, right where he was when his son died, on the throne. And that's what I'm telling you. You and I, our afflictions are light compared to the afflictions that our Lord bore in our place and in our stead on that cross of Calvary. Yes, he suffered. Why shouldn't I suffer? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win that prize and sailed, literally sailed, through bloody seas? Shall I shy away from bearing my share of affliction for Christ's sake, refuse to bear in my body the marks and the dying of Jesus Christ? God have mercy on this generation that wants everything on a silver platter, not willing to give, not willing to suffer, not willing to bear any reproach or shame for the glory of Jesus Christ when he bore so much for us. Oh, my afflictions are so light compared with what he suffered for my sins. And then fourthly, my afflictions are light compared to the blessings I now enjoy. Yes, sir, that I right now enjoy. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we sons of God. And I'll tell you, being a son of God, that's the greatest blessing God can give a man. I don't care whether he has tuberculosis, or whether he has cancer, or whether he has heart trouble, or whether he has a wayward boy, or whether he's an old man with 2 years to live. If he's a child of the King, God has crowned him. God Almighty has blessed him. God Almighty has given him benefits and mercies like he's given not even to the fallen angels. He's given him the gift of his love. What more do we want? Now are we sons of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, right now we have peace with God. Who maketh thee to differ? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't? Rejoice that your name's in the book of life. Rejoice that even your trials work together for your good. Even my trials are being worked out by God for my good. You ever sing that old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings? Name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. But no, I tell you what we do. We look at what's wrong. There are 40 things right and one thing wrong, and we stay on the thing that's wrong. There are 40 things good and one thing bad, and we stay on the thing that's bad. That's such a bad trait. That's such a bad characteristic. Give God the glory for what you have. These infirmities just go with the flesh. You wake up in the morning with a headache. People all over the world have headaches. Why shouldn't you? You wake up in the morning with a backache. People all over the world have backaches. Why shouldn't you have one? You have all the blessings of God. In Christ, you have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We have so much to rejoice in. Why do we complain and find fault with God's good providence? I tell you, let us rejoice in the Lord. God hates murmuring. The children of Israel in the land of the wilderness, God's judgment fell on them more for murmuring than anything else. They complained about the manna. They complained about the longness of the journey. They complained about all these things. They complained about Moses. And God let their carcasses die and dry up in the wilderness, and they never entered the promised land. I'll tell you, God's good providence, by his grace, he's brought me safe thus far, and his grace will lead me home. Let us give thanks. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now watch this. My afflictions are light, very light, compared to what I shall enjoy when God calls me home. Do you know what I have? I have an inheritance that's reserved in heaven, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's waiting my coming. That's right. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Now watch this. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Brethren, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for a new body. This body's going to decay and rot and fall apart. I expect it to. I may have 12, 13 more years. I'm nearly 60 years old. Some of you older than that. I don't expect to live here always. This body's going back to the dust from whence it came. But I'm going to have a new body. This mortal's going to put on immortality. This corruption's going to put on incorruption. This weakness is going to put on strength. This shame is going to put on glory at the coming of the Lord. I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a new body. I'm looking for eternal glory. And John wrote in Revelation, and God's going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. That's going to be pain as long as we're here. It's going to be sorrow as long as we're here. There's going to be sickness as long as we're here. That's right. And you're not immune. You're not immune. But one of these days, all these things are going to be taken away. He said, right, behold, I make all things new. All things new. Right, these sayings are true and faithful. Yes, sir, my afflictions, my light afflictions, they're light compared to what I deserve. Yes, they are. And they're light compared to what I have. God's blessed me. They're indescribable, innumerable. David said, when I think about your blessings and benefits, they're innumerable, more than I can number. My blessings are nothing compared. My afflictions are nothing compared to what my Lord suffered in my place. And then when I look at folks around me who suffer much more than I do, I'm ashamed when I complain, aren't you? Just ashamed. I have so much. And one of these days, in Christ, we're going to have everything. When our Lord returns and we're raised from the grave, we're going to be made into His likeness. And it'll be a new day.